Well, let me just begin by reading some scripture. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, okay? My main Bible is the King James, New King James, but I like the New Living Translation at times for certain things because it really clarifies the same, the heart of what's being said. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says this. So just listen if you would. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. So this morning, I want to take another look at the false grace gospel that is very prevalent in our society today. And so the title of the message is Another Look at the False Grace Gospel. Another Look at the False Grace Gospel. I think hopefully all of us here, but many of us, are aware of some of the deception that's taking place in America, and especially, you know, in the church, where there is a different gospel, a different spirit, a different Jesus being presented. And I don't know about you, but I want to represent the true Jesus. I want to speak His word. I don't want to share with you my opinions. I want to share with you His heart, His word. And I pray that God will direct me by His Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. So we cannot understand the scriptures except by the Holy Spirit revealing, amen, the meaning of scripture. So He's working in us. And have you ever noticed that after you've had a time of prayer, if you then open the Bible, it all of a sudden becomes a lot clearer? After you've had a time of praise, worship, prayer, then all of a sudden you lift it and open it up. It's like, wow, it's really... Other times you may come and open... I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll open the Bible, it's kind of like, ooh. It's just like reading the newspaper. You ever had that happen? I know some of you are too spiritual for that, but sometimes I've opened this up and it really hasn't, I haven't got anything, you know? Why? Because I can't get anything intellectually. My intellect is not capable of understanding the mysteries of God, the truth. God speaks to us from His Spirit to our spirit. God speaks to the heart. We can stimulate the intellect. We can feed the intellect. We can, you know, memorize scripture even. And we can be very fluent at even preaching. But unless it is by the Spirit of God, it's only a dead letter. It's the Spirit of God that brings the Word alive to us and reveals it to us. So if you don't have a relationship with the Lord in the Spirit, you don't have a good prayer life, for example, you're going to have trouble understanding the truth because it has to be revealed. It cannot be learned in a classroom, right? And so there is a great deception taking place today that could possibly put millions of people in hell. There is, the Bible talks about hell. There is a literal hell. And there are people in hell and people will go to hell. And many churches don't even talk about hell anymore because it's not popular and people don't want to hear it. Because we are in the time now that Paul was telling Timothy, where men will not listen to sound teaching. They will not endure sound doctrine. But they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn away from the truth to fables. Tell me sweet stories, sweet nothings. Make me feel good in church. You know, I like this church because it makes me feel good. Well, you know, before you can feel good, you have to feel bad. And this is where some people jump off the boat, is when they start to feel bad about the reality is that I'm a mess. I need to repent. I need to get my heart right with God. That's where many people will jump off the boat and say, I'm not going in that. Are you hearing me today? I don't like what they say at that church. So therefore, I'm going church shopping. What's your fancy? Well, I like the carpet. I like the drapes. I like the feel of the music. I like the, you know, wow, they have one of the hottest bands in town. Woohoo! I think I'll pay my dues at this club. And I'll hang out here because they tell me things that I like to hear. And they make me feel comfortable in my depravity. Well, we don't say that. But in actuality, if we are refusing truth, we are believing a lie. You see, most of us, we're wise in our own understanding. I mean, if I thought it, it's got to be God, right? It's got to be true. My opinion is what matters, right? Not. No, we don't function by our personal opinions, do we? Why do you think we have so many different persuasions out there? Because people have an opinion. And an opinion is based upon something that they want, not necessarily what is true, but something that they want for themselves. And what's happened is, in our age, the gospel has been perverted in many cases. And this is what it is. Instead of being Christ-centered, it is now self-centered. In other words, I go to church, whatever I do, I listen to messages, I sing the songs, whatever I'm doing, it's for my own good. It's for me that I do it. Now, does God care about your needs? Yes. Does God take care of our needs? Yes. But we need to seek who first? The kingdom, right? Basic Christianity 101. But seek first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. But often what we're doing is we're coming to God as a cosmic sugar daddy, whatever, and gimme, 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 and it's all about me, and it's really not about him. And when you are really, truly born again, you will discover that all of a sudden your heart has changed and your desires have changed, and now you're in a place where you're saying, God, what can I do for you? You get it? Not what's in it for me. Selfish nature, right? What is in it for me? Instead of, God, based upon all that you've done for me, Romans 12, 1, right? And 2. It's my reasonable service to offer my life back to you. Give you my body. To serve you. To live for you now. God allows situations in our lives to bring us to a place of desperation so that we will come to him. And let's face it, I come to him, you come to him most of the time because we have a need. And that's not bad, because as long as we're coming to God. Okay? But what God wants us to do is to come to him with a heart that says, God, here I am. I'm your vessel. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Father, I want to live for you now. What can I do to love you back? How can I love you back for the rest of my life? So this gospel of accommodation today that is so popular, it just accommodates whatever what do the people want. Let's go do a survey and find out what the people in town want for a church. And we'll pattern our church after the opinions of the population rather than the Word of God. And guess what? People will go to that church because I feel comfortable at this church. Do you understand? Sometimes people walk out of here because they're uncomfortable because the Holy Spirit is dealing with their heart. Maybe you felt like running out of here a few times. I know I've been in church a few times where I'm like, where's the door at? Somebody's reading my mail. But what we need to do is know that God loves us and He calls us to fellowship. He calls us to healing. Amen. He wants us to be restored. So if He's dealing with our heart about something, He's going to provide you the grace to not only be free from that, but to be healed as well. You see, God doesn't convict us about sin without also providing the grace for us to be free from it. God wants a people that are free from the power of sin. And so today, it's not popular. Oh, we don't talk about sin. We preach Jesus. How can you preach Jesus and not talk about sin? Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. That's Jesus. One of the keys to overcoming sin is not to focus on it, but to focus on Christ. Okay? When you turn to the Lord, the veil of your heart is removed. You begin to see clearly. The Spirit of God begins to deal with you. You begin to see the areas that God is telling you, I want you to put that to death. I want you to bury that thing. I want you to forsake that thing. I want you to turn from that thing. You get it? And He's doing this through a process called sanctification. And so this cheap grace is really offering people salvation without repentance. You cannot be saved until you know that you're lost. It's the Spirit of God that brings us into a place where we understand that I am in trouble and that I desperately need to be delivered primarily from myself because I am my own worst enemy. So if you try to live a self-centered life as a Christian, you will fail miserably. Jesus never taught us self-esteem. Jesus taught us self-denial. The world tells people self-esteem, and the church has picked up on that and introduced some of these doctrines of demons that esteem the self-life rather than Christ. Jesus did not come with an agenda. Jesus did not come to do His own thing. He came to do the will of His Father. You know that. Look at the example of Jesus. How did Jesus live? That's how I'm supposed to live. Has anybody here arrived at that yet? Don't raise your hand. How many here have that desire in your heart? Amen. And you know why? Because God put that there. God gives us a glimpse of who He is, and then we get a glimpse of who we are. And we say, wow, I'm a piece of work. Right? That's not a bad thing because then we come to Him for help, for grace. We trust in Him and not in ourselves. God's weaning us off depending on ourselves for victory. I can't be selfish and full of Him. I've got to get rid of that old man. I've got to put to death that part of me every day. As Paul said, I die daily. I deny that part of me that wants to do its own thing so that I can do the will of God. And then Paul discovered that in his life, the righteousness and peace and joy of the Lord was his, because when he was focusing on himself, he was doing a lot of things that he thought were good, but they were actually terrible. He was a self-righteous man. I mean, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he, when he thought he was doing God a favor, he was by persecuting the church. You get it? So those who are legalistic, those who are self-righteous, will persecute those who walk in grace. Walking in grace is me leaning on, depending on, trusting in the Lord and His ability in my life for daily victory. I have to recognize that in, like Paul said, in me there's no good thing. I've got to turn my eyes upon Jesus. I've got to get my eyes off self. Because when we start to focus inwardly and we're just looking at self, come on somebody, all we're going to see is a mess and problems and all that stuff. You turn your eyes upon Jesus and those things go away. The things that were so big to you before become small. Because now you're seeing things from the perspective of heaven. Because you're a worshiper of God in the Spirit, you begin to have the mind of Christ. You begin to see things as He sees them. And the things that used to be so impossible now are possible. The addiction that seemed to be so big and so impossible to overcome, now it's nothing because God is so much bigger than that. That is the truth. But if my mind lies to me and says, no, it can't it can't be done. It's too big, it's too bad, it's too impossible. But the Lord says, with Christ, all things. All things. So what do I believe? That's what's going to make the difference in my life. Where am I focusing? Am I focusing on myself as the Savior? Or am I just turning my eyes upon Jesus and saying, you know what? I'm getting over me. I'm done with me. I'm done with my ways. I want God's way. I want to discover His heart, know His heart, walk with Him daily. I want to let His light shine through me daily. I want to walk in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't want to be self-centered, self-focused, self-exalted, self-whatever. Even in the church, a lot of stuff that we do can be just for the purpose of getting noticed, of having somebody see me. And that still is selfish because we're not supposed to be in this for us. We're supposed to be in this for Him. You see, the self-accommodating gospel today says it's all about you. It's all about you. How can we accommodate you today? Would you like a little sermonette to go with your song service? Or would you like a side order of drama? Nothing wrong with that stuff, right? If we had the right motive. Or a latte, yes, with your song service. Nothing wrong with latte. Hey, what do you mean? Sounds pretty good. Somebody ordered me a latte right now, but we can't be focused as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, on what we want anymore. You see, let's face it. Most of the time, we come to God because we have a need. And God is good, and God often will help us with that particular need. And then when the need is met, guess what? I'm out of here. Got what I want now. Why? Because the bottom line is you never really repented. Repentance is me turning away from me to God. You see, repentance isn't just being sorry. It's not just remorse for something I did wrong. This is a godly sorrow, and that's part of repentance. It leads to repentance. Amen? But repentance is me changing my mind. It's me saying that I'm no longer in this life for me and my agenda. I have to take all of that. I have to lay it down at the altar. I have to be crucified with Christ. Everything has to go to the cross. I die that I might live a new life with Him. Through the cross is resurrection. Through the cross is life and peace in the Holy Spirit. Through the cross is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Through the cross is the purpose of God, which is higher and better and superior to our own agenda. So God is trying to get you and I to come to the place where we are done with ourselves. And this is where people get off the boat. When Jesus began to spell out what it really meant to be a disciple of His, people got off the bandwagon then. They said, I don't know about this. It's good as long as there's free lunch. But if there ain't no free lunch in it, I don't know if I'm that interested in this. Oh, and did we mention that there might be suffering involved? Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think I like that church. I'm going to go over here because they really know how to accommodate people over here. They know how to make people comfortable in their sin. To be okay with it. To rationalize, to justify, to say, oh well, everybody does it. Well, at least I'm not as bad as that guy over there, Lord. Comparing ourselves, right, to others, and also comparing ourselves with ourselves. Well, in my opinion, what Jesus wants me to do is this. What about the will of God in this? Everybody's got an opinion. Most of the messages I'm hearing today, folks, they're based on self-improvement and self-help. Self is at the center of it. Does God want to fix us? Yes. Does God want to help us? Yes. But we've got the cart before the horse, where my motivation for coming to God is just about me and not about Him and the kingdom. Instead of saying, God, what can I do for you? We say, what's in it for me? Why do I come to church? Well, if there's nothing in it for me, I'm not interested. How about coming to church because your brothers and sisters need you there? Amen. How about coming, amen, to support the work of God, amen, in Shelton, Washington? Yeah. Joining our hearts together, pulling together for the purposes of Jesus Christ, amen, and not for whatever I want and how I feel, and it's all about me, by the way. Oh. I got to fight this old man every day. I got to deal with the same thing you got to deal with. I have to put it to death. I have to say no. I'm going to put God first in my life. And when God is first in my life, things work out. Amen. It doesn't mean that everything is always smooth. But whatever I face, I can deal with easily because God is giving me the grace to overcome. And I don't want to come to God just as a sugar daddy and give me, instead of seeking His hand, why don't we seek His face? Why don't we seek a relationship? Why don't we get to really know God and how good He is and the plan that God has for our lives that is so much better than the plans that we set for ourselves? The thing that we think that we want to hold on to can be the very thing that prevents us from finishing our race in victory. Are we willing to let go of anything that God says, I want this out? I want you to lay this down at the altar of sacrifice. I want you to give that thing up. Oh, it's not a bad thing. It's not even a sinful thing. It's just a wrong thing because it is weighing me down. It is a weight in my life. And it's preventing me from doing what God's called me to do. So sometimes God's going to tell you to sacrifice something that's even good, so that you can do what is right and best. And I've discovered when I have been obedient to God to do what He's told me to do and to quit what He tells me to quit and stop doing what I was doing. Whenever I do that, even though in my mind conflicts and battles and say, but I'm going to lose this thing that's so valuable to me. And when I lay it down and I'm willing to trust God, I discover that He gives me something superior in return. Far better. And I don't even miss that thing anymore. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes God's going to call you to drop a hobby because a hobby is choking the life out of you. You're entertaining the self life, but what about the eternal life of God in you? What about the plan and the purpose of God that is higher, amen, and superior, and that endures forever? come to the cross. Come to the place where I'm done with my life and the way I was going. And I'm now going to say, Jesus, from now on, my life is to be lived for you. I'm going to live for you. I have to die to myself. So don't be fooled by the theology. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. In other words, through the cross is resurrection. Hallelujah, resurrection power. When I deny myself, I can live in Him. But I can't be full of Jesus and full of myself at the same time. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Matthew 16:24. He didn't say, if any man come after me, let him esteem himself. He says, disown yourself. Who are we going to listen to here? Are we going to listen to the Word of God today? It's not my word, you know that. Whenever the teaching is focused on us and not Christ, it's false. Now, how many remember Peter? Poor Peter. He rebuked Jesus at the thought of Jesus going to the cross. And what did Jesus do? He rebuked him and said, and called him Satan. Satan means adversary. He says, you're an enemy. What was he saying? He said, Peter, you are focused on your self-interest. You're more concerned about the things of man. Because naturally, if we have a friend that is going to be crucified, how many of us are here say, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to allow that to happen to you. But Peter did not know the heart or the mind or the will of God. Jesus did, and Jesus was not going to let anyone stop him from doing what he was called to do. But Peter had to realize that his focus was in the wrong place. Peter was a natural man. He was a worldly man. He was a man that lived for this world, really, primarily. You see, a lot of people have a little religion, a little church, a little Jesus, but primarily it's all about me, you see. Do you get it? He says, you're focused on yourself, but really not on the will of God. Yet the cross was necessary, wasn't it, for our salvation? Now, of course, the cross was a very unpleasant thing. It was a horrible thing. And you know that it was not an easy thing for Jesus, amen, to go to that cross for us. But Jesus would not be deterred by his own emotions, his own feelings, his own opinion. Even as he struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat great drops of blood for the agony of that which he was facing, the torments that were awaiting him at the cross. Jesus would not be swayed. He would not take himself down off that cross even when he was mocked and he was challenged, because he had committed himself fully to the Father's will, because Jesus was not in it for himself, but he was in it for the Father and for you. You understand? Christianity is not about us. It's about the Lord and others. God takes care of us when we take care of the Lord and his church, his people. Do you understand that God wants every one of us in this room to connect to this body and to become a part of what he's doing? Every one of us. Amen? We don't want to just be church attenders. We want to be disciples. We want to walk with God. How many here want to walk with God? Well, you got to plug into his body because, amen, if we're going this direction, you got to come along with us too. We're a flock. As a flock, we've got to be together. We've got to pull together. We've got to work together. We've got to pray together. We're going to cry together. Amen. We're going to help each other through as a flock. The enemy wants to separate you out. He wants to isolate that one sheep. That one sheep and say, you don't need to be with the flock today. Come on. It's all about you today. Oh, you don't feel like it? Oh, you got a little sniffle? Oh. Crying out loud. You don't want to be uncomfortable. Besides, you're going to get everybody contaminated. If God tells you to stay home, stay home. Amen? But how many of us here are going to say, God, what do you say? We don't say that often because we're afraid the Father may just say something that we don't want to hear. But I've discovered when I have denied my emotions, I denied my feelings about things, and I listened to the voice of God, the voice of truth, and I did what He said, guess what? Better feelings followed. Joy came. Hallelujah. And so the thing that we try to fill ourselves up with doesn't satisfy. The thing that we put before God doesn't satisfy. It leaves us empty. God is wanting to fill your life. God is wanting to raise you up. God is wanting to use you in ways you never knew could be possible. But you're going to have to do one thing, and that is you're going to have to be willing to die to yourself. Willing to take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ and say, it's no longer I that live, but Christ. See, to Peter, the cross made no sense at the time. What did he do? Peter avoided the cross. Peter ran away from the cross. We have a natural inclination to spare ourselves inconvenience, any kind of suffering, any kind of difficulties. What are we doing? We're looking for the path of least resistance. And how many know that that's actually the wide road? Difficult confined is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. That is the will of God for you. And the will of God sometimes has thorns. It has difficulty along the way, but it leads to a glorious end. If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will not deny Himself. He remains faithful. If we confess God, amen, He confesses us. Do you understand that denying Christ is an unwillingness to obey His voice? Are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Do you listen to Jesus? Do you listen to Jesus every time He's speaking to you? Or do we approach it as we do, you've heard it said before, a smorgasbord? It's a buffet of I choose what I like and reject what I don't like. I want to spend some time over here at the dessert aisle. Oh, I like cakes and candies and all those good things. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. He didn't say you are the candy of the earth. Sweet. He said, you're the salt. Sometimes salt stings. But salt is a preservative, and sometimes we just need to be corrected. Can you say amen? Because God loves us enough to correct us. He has to recalibrate me all the time. I have to be willing to listen and let God just realign, because before we know it, we can easily drift. The enemy's good at just causing distractions. He plays interference quite well. So Peter, he said, you're not focusing in the right place here. You're focusing on yourself and your own interests. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, here's Paul the Apostle, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Well, what is an enemy of the cross of Christ? Well, let's read on, verse 19. He says, they're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. In other words, I do what I feel like doing, when I want to, how I want to. If it's convenient for me, I'll say yes to God. But if not, I'm going to do what I want to do. Their God is their appetite. In other words, I'm just feeding myself. It's all about feeding myself and not serving Him. Come on, somebody. If Jesus had lived for Himself, He would have never gone to the cross. He would have never been obedient to the Father. Amen? He wouldn't have accomplished the plan of salvation for us. But Jesus had to deny Himself because He, being God in nature, became a servant, a man, just like you and I. And he had to deny himself so that he could do the will of his Father, even to the death of the cross, but for the joy set before him. Somebody say, the joy set before you. He endured the cross. He says, I tell you, they're enemies of the cross. They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. They think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return. Amen? As our Savior. That's the New Living Translation. I know New King James is up there. We're getting ready to start. Actually, we started today. And I want to encourage you to come to Sunday school. You want to really learn the Bible? Come to Sunday school. We're going through book by book, verse by verse. Wayne is an excellent teacher. And it's at 9:15 every Sunday morning. And right now we're beginning the book of Titus. And actually, I'm going to quote from Titus. Titus 1:16 says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. In other words, there are many people who profess a relationship, profess Christianity. But in works, they deny him. In other words, they're not obedient to what God's telling them to do. And in Jude 1, in verse 4, he says, it talks about certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness or licentiousness, and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, people who think that somehow the gospel gives me a license to do whatever I want to do are deceiving themselves. They're turning the grace of God into a license for sin. You understand? How many know that God hates sin? God hasn't changed his stance on that. It was sin that caused the death of Jesus on our behalf. You know, sometimes we want to just make excuses for it, you know. Well, I try. No, you don't. How about doing what God tells you to do? The Holy Spirit doesn't tell you and I to do something so that we can just say, well, I'll try to do it. How many know the Lord knows what we're capable of doing? And if he tells us to do something, he's going to give you the power to do it. You just need to do what he tells you to do, because his grace is there in the place of obedience. You want God's grace, God's power in your life? Start doing what he tells you to do. Start getting up. You got to pray. Get up and pray. Amen. Don't listen to your body that just wants to do its own thing. Oh, my favorite TV show's on. I can't be in church. God is saying, go with the body of Christ. Where's the body of Christ? Gather with your brothers and sisters. I have a mission. I have a plan. It's bigger than what your stupid television show is all about. Why don't you discover my plan for your life? Let's get involved. Let's do this thing together. Let's quit wasting our lives and wasting our time on vanity and empty pursuits that do nothing in light of eternity. Let's live for eternity. Let's live for Jesus. Let's commit ourselves. Give ourselves over to God. Die to yourself. Go to the cross and say, Lord, I'm laying it all down. I'm giving you my life. What can I do for you? It's no longer I. It's no longer what's in it for me. But God, what can I do for you? How can I bless you today? How can I love you back today? How can I be a blessing for you in this world? Well, I got so much to say, but I'm going to just say one more, okay? God's saving grace is the power of the cross. What does the power of the cross do? It delivers us from the power of sin. It's God's power to enable us to serve him and to not serve sin. The power of the cross is God's grace that is available for us to serve him and not serve sin. If your focus is on self, you will serve self. And when you serve self, you will serve sin. When your focus is on Jesus Christ and His mission and the kingdom of God is first in everything that you do, then you will live for eternity and sin's not going to be a problem for you. Why? Because you have right focus. You're not focused on earthly things. You're not living to satisfy your own lusts. You're here to do the will of God like Jesus. And in that you will find your joy. In that you will find your peace. In that you will find that your heart will burn again, blaze again with holy passion and the excitement of being in the will of God for your life. There's nothing that can compare. Don't let the devil rob you another single day, offering you cheap counterfeits and temporary things to occupy and waste your time with. My wife and I, we get to go over to Maple Glen several times every Sunday and do a little service over there. It's a retirement home. And when we go in there, we're grieved because there's so many people that are in the last years of their life that don't see any need for God. You come in and one's doing a puzzle. Another's watching the game. Another's listening to music. Another one's doing this thing and that thing. But they don't have any time for God. You understand? Well, all they're doing is just wasting the time, just abiding the time until finally one day it's going to be over. And guess what? There is coming a day when every knee is going to bow. There's coming a day when every soul, amen, will stand before God because every soul belongs to Him. There's coming a day when we shall have our appointment at the throne. What are we going to do then? Are we going to have joy in that day because we have died to self and lived for the kingdom and now we're entering into our reward? Or are we going to bow our head in shame and say, God, You gave me these abilities. You gave me this grace. I came to church. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, but I did nothing with it. Are we going to be ashamed or are we going to have joy because I did not receive the grace of God in vain? Why do I say this? Because God is saying to His people, I want to give you something that is eternal. I want to share my kingdom with you. I want you to know the joy of fellowship with me. I want you to yoke up with me and I want you to do life together with me. I don't want you to be concerned about the temporary things of this world. You just seek the kingdom above everything else. I'll take care of those temporary things. You're not going to have to eat, you know, Rolaids because you've got ulcers because you're worried and stressed out about all these things. All you got to do is yoke up with me and let's do life together. And I'm going to reveal to you my plan, which is superior to your plan. And as you discover and as you begin to walk it out and live it out and get your eyes off this world, these temporary things, and you get your eyes on me, we're going to find out that when you see Jesus in that day, you're going to have joy. Amen. You're looking forward to see people that are really looking forward to Jesus coming are people that are living for Jesus. Why? Because they discovered in this world, there's nothing that they want. Are you anticipating, looking forward to the day when Jesus comes? Are you expecting that there's going to be an abundant welcome? Yes, because I'm not living for myself, but I've been living for God. And so the day is coming when my heavenly bridegroom, Jesus, is coming. He's going to receive me to Himself. Hallelujah. I'm going to be forever with the Lord. I'm looking forward to that day. There's going to be a crown of rejoicing, amen, in that day. We're not going to stand there and say, oh God, what if I had, why didn't I listen? Why did I waste my, are you hearing me? You don't want to stand before Jesus and try to make excuses. Why? Because there are no excuses. He died. He suffered for us, for our soul, amen, and for the souls of others. God's will is that people be saved, that people be sanctified, that His church is made holy and prepared and ready for eternity. That's the focus of God's heart. It is on this people right here today. It's on your brother and your sister. That's where God is looking. And He wants us to pull together, work together. He wants us to be in church. He wants us to learn. He wants us to be equipped. And He wants us to go out into the highways and the byways. Amen? But it begins with the shepherd and the flock being together. Understand? It's not about me. It's about you. When you truly are ministering to somebody, you can't be focused on yourself. You've got to let the heart of God work through you, and you've got to be thinking about, how can I benefit? How can I bless? How can I edify? How can I get these kids on fire for Jesus? These kids need to get saved. I mean saved. To where they're transformed just like we've been transformed. Amen? We want to see our kids on fire for God. We want to see our kids coming here because there's some program that they have fun doing. We want our kids to come because Jesus can far outweigh any of this stuff. Jesus is so much better than any program. Chuck, remember that time back in Graham with the kids? Once we had that breakthrough, they started coming and they started sitting on the edge of their seat and they were excited about God. They didn't care about activities after that. All of a sudden, they wanted more of God. That's what we want to do. We need to pray for our leaders, amen, and our teachers, and pray for our students, and that God's going to put a fire in them, that they're going to come alive in Him, amen, that they're going to understand that there's nothing in this world that even compares to the glory of knowing Him. And let it begin with the adults. Let it begin with us being an example, being a mentor in our homes. Amen. That our children are watching us live for God. Amen. Not for self, not spending ourselves on vanity, but living for the kingdom, living for eternity. Amen. We don't want to say, do as I say, not as I do. We want to say, do as I say because it's what I do. Amen. We tell our children, do as I say because it's what I do. I'm going to not only talk about it, I'm going to demonstrate it. That's what we need to do. God, help us. God, bring us back. God, bring us back to that place where we're passionate, where our hearts burn for you. All we can see is every other word is praise God, praise God, praise God. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah, praise God. I'm on fire. I'm burning. What is it that's come in, that's crept in, that's choked out that life? Get rid of it. Bring it to the cross. Bring your life to Jesus. Amen. You're here today, you say, you know what? I made up my mind. I'm going to follow Jesus. I made up my mind today. I'm going to commit my life to Him, to His service, to His work, to His church, to my community, to my family, to my workplace. I'm going to be an example. I'm going to be an ambassador for Jesus. I'm committing my life to do what God has called me to do. Do you mean business today? You're committing your life to Jesus. You know what that means? It means it's no longer I. It's no longer what I want. It's what Jesus says. If Jesus says something that goes against what I want, guess who wins? He does. Because whatever He calls me to do is going to be so much better than what I think I'm losing. You remember that example of the little girl with the plastic pearls, who every night her dad would read her a story. And as he read the story, he would see those pearls that she loved and she held dear around her neck. And he said, honey, can Daddy have those pearls? Oh, Daddy, no, not my pearls. You can have my little dolly. You can have this and that, but not my pearls. You can't have those, Daddy. You know, I love you, Daddy, but you can't have those. Okay, honey, Daddy loves you. Good night. And every night he would come, he would give her a story, and he'd ask her again, sweetie, can Daddy have those pearls? And she would cry because she says, no, Daddy, you know I love you, but those are my pearls. I can't let you have my pearls, Daddy. Okay, honey, Daddy loves you. Good night. Finally, he comes in. And before he reads her a story, before anything else, there she is, with tears in her eyes, holding out those pearls. Say, here, Daddy, you can have my pearls. And so he reaches into his pocket. And he has a string of genuine pearls. Now, hear me today. This is God's heart for you. What are the plastic pearls in your life? What are the things that you just, idols that you put before Him, you think are so valuable, they don't compare to what God has for you? Will you really give Him the whole thing, the whole offering? Give Him your body for His service now? Time is running out. Time is running out. There's a lost and dying world out there. Before we can reach anybody, God has to reach us. Are you willing to give Him the whole thing today? Yeah. Would you bow your heads and say, Jesus, I give you all of me. I give you my life, my heart, my mind, my soul, and my body. I surrender to you. Lord, give me your eternal life. Lead me by your Spirit every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Guys, hear me when I'm saying, don't let it be just another nice message. This is the heart of God. It's time for the church to pull in, amen, and draw close to God. Because what we're called to do requires His power, requires His ability. Be a worshiper of God. Deny yourself, amen, that comfort sometimes so that you can have something superior in your life. Father God, bless and keep each one of my brothers and sisters. Father, I pray that truly from our hearts, we will surrender our hearts and our lives to you and to this work, to this church body, even to the work and the vision that you've given us to do in our community, God. I pray, Lord, that as I'm speaking, that you're birthing, Lord, visions in people's hearts right now, that you're beginning to reveal the will and the purpose for which they have been called and separated for such a time as this, that this is just not a coincidence that they're here today to hear this. But God, that you are calling men and women, boys and girls, to serve you. God, we don't want the cheap stuff. We want the eternal things. So God, whatever it is you have for us, that's what we want. And we know your will has to be first in our lives. So teach us how to die so that we might live in you, in the superior reality which is the kingdom. O God of gods. And just lift your hands right now and say, Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill me with your power. Enable me to do what I'm called to do. In Jesus' name, amen.